find somebody good looking and give them a high five. Two people, two good looking people. We're going to dismiss Ignite right now. Ignite, if you are in grades 6 through 8, we love to teach the Word of God on everybody's level. So you'll notice the Word of God is even ministered in our infant rooms all the way up to our young students 6 through 8th grade. Well, I am glad you are here at Family Worship Center this morning. And if you are new, thank you for choosing Family Worship Center. My name is Kathy Mazza, and I'm excited to open up the Word of God this morning. Since I'm in the pulpit, can I ask Fred to just put the air up just a little bit? I see people shivering and wrapped in blankets. When Pastor John's in the pulpit, he freezes us out. So, but anyways, I'm excited this morning. We're starting a new series called Rerouting. When plans change, has anybody found that we cannot control everything? There are sometimes we have plans, we have purposes, we have pursuits, and we maybe are the type of individual that writes things down, but some things are out of our control, and sometimes things change, correct? There are many times that we set out to do something, and we don't know how to react or respond when things change. Now, the Bible wants us to respond. That means you thought through clearly and you're going to respond. But I don't know about you, but I'll lift up two hands. I'm usually reacting. Like, what? I thought we had this. Or I thought we were going to do this. But this morning, I hope we're going to look at a story in the Word of God that's going to show us that God knows when things change. God's never surprised, okay? And sometimes we want to look around and go, where are you? Have you forsaken me? Have you forgotten? This isn't what I had planned. And so this morning we're going to talk about rerouting. In fact, how many of you use Google Maps? Anybody enjoy? Or sometimes the old Garmins are out now, or some people still have those. I love Google Maps. I don't know what people did 20 years ago. Do you remember the big maps? You'd get out, put it on the hood of your car. And I used to say to my dad, he is Google Maps in person. So we drove to Tennessee every summer. We would take a vacation. And I'm like, Dad, I have Google Maps. But he took it upon himself. He had to tell me how to get there. And he's like, okay, you're going to go I-95, then you're going to go I-40. And when you get, you know, just past this exit, there's going to be a big tree on the right. And then you're going to see this exit. It's going to circle. And but nowadays, we don't use the maps anymore. We have MapQuest or Google Maps. And when you pull that up and you put your destination in, it gives you, what, like two or three options, right? And I love it because it also gives you your designated time that you're going to be there. Like, this is going to be 12 minutes. This is going to be 14 minutes. How many of you are the on-time people? In fact, on-time is 10 minutes early. Anybody in here? Okay. Wow. We got some slackers in second service. How many are the type that you push it? If it says 11 minutes, you give yourself 10 and a half minutes to get there, right? Okay, no hands up. Oh, few honest people. Well, what happens when we're following the instructions and you make the wrong turn and all of a sudden it starts scrolling on your phone? And what word does it say? It says rerouting. Rerouting. And in fact, if we were to look at the definition of reroute or recalculate, it's to calculate again, typically using different data. Now, when we think of rerouting, most likely we look at that in a negative condemnation, yeah, where we're thinking like, oh, I made a mistake, so we have to reroute. But I was on a trip with Carmen up here. We went to Mardi Gras, and it was a 10-hour drive. Now, I had my MapQuest, and we're driving, and it said we had 2 hours and 21 minutes to get there. So we're listening to, like, podcast and we're talking, and I felt like I was in a wormhole because we must have talked for like an hour, and I looked down at my MapQuest and it still said I had 2 hours and 21 minutes to get there. And I turned to her and I said, am I going crazy? We've been on the road forever and our time of destination has not changed. Well, if you're following and you understand what took place, there was a time change. There was an hour difference. So I was in the car for 2 hours and the time didn't change. So sometimes we can feel like that when it comes to the vision and the promise that God has given us. What about those dreams? We take a wrong turn or something's not exactly happening how we thought it would. Or it's just a pause. Wait, you promised me that this was going to happen. God, you gave me instructions. I wrote this down. You gave me this vision. Where are you? When are you going to show up? So this morning I come not to remind you of maybe where you are in your life right now when it comes to vision and passion and what God's doing. But I came to tell you that God is purposing and redirecting with new data. Some of you have changed since the beginning of the year. How many of you remember our fast, 21 days of fast, fasting and praying, believing God for overflow in life, overflow in community, overflow in the world? I believe that God is positioning us with new data. He's positioning. Some of you have stepped out and gotten involved in a small group, gotten involved in community, gotten involved in praying together, believing God and seeing Him work on your behalf. Some of you have stepped out and say, okay, God, since the beginning of 2019, I'm believing you with my finances. It's not always easy, but I'm going to tithe. I'm going to bring my first fruit. And you're seeing that because of that new data is being collected, that God is working on your behalf. And even here at Family Worship Center, God's doing a work. God's doing great things. In fact, since the beginning of the year, you always hear us talk about Grow. Anybody hear us talk about Grow before? Who's actually attended Grow so far? All right, see all those hands. So Grow takes place next door. Now, why do we have Grow? Grow is very important because part of the vision here at Family Worship Center is we want people to know God. I mean, it's important that God is a relational God. That's why we were created, is to know God. And we want people to find freedom. So what takes place in our classrooms next door is you have an encounter with God, and then you find freedom, and you discover your purpose. Not only do you discover your purpose, but you discover how to make a change in the world that you live in. That's important. And here at Family Worship Center, part of our vision is that we want to love God, and we want to love people. Love God, love people. You've heard for the past month, we talked about Missions Month and all that we're doing outside these four walls. But you know, that's not just the mission of the church, but that's the mission of the people in the church. We love God. We love people. We choose joy and we pursue excellence. Why are you telling me this, Kathy? That's a good question. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We're going to look at a scripture. I'm going to look at the Message version. While you turn there, let's just pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to open your word this morning. Lord Jesus, my prayer today is that you stir up vision, dreams, purpose on the inside of us. Father, I know that things don't always go as planned, but you are always, always, always faithful to cause your promises to come to pass. So I pray for inspiration. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. This is actually out of the Message Bible. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Ever felt like life is causing you to stumble? And it goes on to say here, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. How many of you want to be a blessed people? Not just for ourselves, but we can have overflowing onto others. God is calling us to see what he's doing and to take part in what he's doing. So the question I have to ask you this morning is, what is God doing in your life? What is God calling and causing you to do? What vision do you have? Vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. If you can see what God's expectation is in your life, or if you can dream and it can just be accomplished, then I would say that's just a desire. Because vision is usually bigger than ourselves. Vision is what we see when our eyes are closed. I see this room full of the lost and the hurting. I see this altar full of individuals who need to have an encounter with God. I see when I close my eyes, children's church overflowing, us coming up with ways to provide more chairs. I see Monday night when the youth group here is overflowing, not enough chairs. Why? Because it's life. It's life's being changed. I mean, God is on the move here at Family Worship Center. And usually when God is working in a house, there's overflow into your home. So when we're praying for God to move in the church, move in our city, it will overflow and affect your home. So when we're looking at what God is doing and where we're going, in fact, I'm just going to give you some statistics real quick. God is so faithful. Currently, right now, at Family Worship Center, we have 112 Dream Team participants. Give it up. That's anybody that is serving currently. Just since January, we've had 17 salvations, 11 rededications, 9 baptisms in the Holy Spirit, and 29 new members. We've had 30 attend Grow. Now, those are all just numbers. Oh, my gosh, you're so into numbers, Kathy. You're so into numbers. No, you know what? They might be numbers, but they're lives. They're lives. We are put on this earth to make a change. So are we going to talk about the church, Kathy? Or are we going to talk about you? Okay, if you insist, let's talk about you. So that is our vision. That is our dream. What is your vision? What has God prompted you? What is God stirring up on the inside of you? What did you dream about when you were a young child? What did you talk about when you first came into relationship with Christ? What are some desires that you have in your heart to make a change? Maybe in the world or maybe in your own life. Did you want to be an author? Did you want to be a producer? Did you want to work at a certain place? Did you want to have children? Did you want to have a successful marriage? Because I'm just telling you, we can go through life and just be dull and just live. I have my 2 kids and I have my picket fence and I have a house and I have a dog and I work and there's nothing wrong with that. But where's the dream? Where's the vision? In fact, let's look at a story in the Word of God in Joshua chapter 6. This is a young man who had a dream. He had a dream given to him from God, a vision to get the children of Israel into the promised land. And how many of you know there was a lot of times that their plans changed? If you read in the Old Testament, it was so simple. It's like an 11-day journey. And they stayed there for 40 years. Something like I experienced with my GPS, with the time change. I'm just wanting to shout and raise my voice this morning and say, God doesn't want you stuck. God doesn't want you walking in circles. God doesn't want you keep going around the mountain. What has he promised you? Is it the fact that your body's made whole, that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed? Do you got to come against what the doctors say? Is it the fact that God's put a dream and a vision for you to accomplish something, to impact the world? Maybe it's for a job change. Maybe, I mean, I can't answer, but you can. And in fact, here, Joshua was told that he and his men could overtake the city of Jericho. Now, many of you heard this story probably in children's church. I mean, the walls were so fortified and so large that they could actually do chariot races on top of these walls. Anybody have a dream or a vision that's fortified? Yeah, like, God, that's not going to be me. That's somebody else. I don't think I can get through that. I don't think I can do that. I don't have the money. I don't have the education. I don't have the wherewithal. How did Joshua feel? He was leading an army that was going to go and capture the city of Jericho. But listen here. In verse 1, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut. Anybody's dreams tightly shut? And the people were afraid of the Israelites. Those were them. No one was allowed to go in or out. In verse 2, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. Can I just tell you today, God, point number one, if you're taking notes, God does not give a dream or a vision that he does not give you the victory for. God doesn't give you a dream or a vision that he doesn't give you the victory for. It's very important for you to understand that this morning. God's wanting to stir you up to say, what have I told you? What have I promised to you? What have I promised to you about your children? They will rise up and they will call you blessed. They will follow the ordinations or the laws and the word of God all the days of their life. But sometimes when things don't go as planned, how do we react? How do we respond? Joshua was looking at a fortified city, but God told Joshua, I have given it to you. Vision is for victory. What has God said to you? What has God promised to you? I believe there are some people here today that are about to give up on their dreams for a successful marriage. They're about to give up on their dreams for that job transfer, for that increase in pay. They're about to give up on their dreams. And you fill in the blank. But I'm telling you this morning, Joshua had to believe what God said was more important than what the circumstances stated. Anybody been there? Anybody done that? The circumstances, I just don't think they can change God. But God's saying he gives you vision for victory. The truth is, it's not vision. It's not a dream if it's not bigger than you. What do you see when your eyes are closed? And how intent are you on believing God for that? He's calling us. He's calling us, people. Number two, when it comes to your vision, vision determines pace. Vision determines pace. Everyone clap with me real quick. Okay, let's work on this. All right, give yourself a pat on the back. Good job. Now, did I set the pace? Did I set that pace? Yes, I set that pace. But the truth is, when it comes to God, the pace has already been set. His promises, the promises in God's word, the pace has already been set. In fact, point number two, I said vision determines pace. A lot of times we get the vision, but we won't go back for the instructions. Read here in Joshua chapter 6, verse 3. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Okay, Joshua, I've given you the city. You're going to take the city, these fortified walls. You're used to fighting with a sword. You're used to going after the juggler. You're used to killing. But you know what? I want you to pause, listen to my instructions, and walk around the wall one time. That is God setting the pace. And I don't know about you, but my instinct would have been like, let's come up with a plan. Where is there weakness in this enemy or this adversary? Let's get all of our warriors over here. Let's do this. Let's do that. But see, God was saying here is vision determines pace. I clapped my hands and I set the pace. But when it comes to victory, when it comes to your dreams, when it comes to accomplishing all that God has set in your heart, He has already set the pace. Do you know the victory was already Joshua's? But it wasn't until day 7 when they walked around the wall 7 times and they let out a shout that that's when the walls came down. But when we're walking on day 3 and we're circling, that's usually when we start talking, right? Oh, man, I don't see how this is going to happen. Imagine what his warriors, these big, huge men, were probably saying to Joshua. Come on, we only walked around one time. Can you help me out here? Let's do something about this. How many times do we do that with our own dreams, right? Let's do something about this. In fact, what happened with Abraham and Sarah? Let's do something about this. She ended up giving her husband another woman. Like, how crazy is that? But have we been in dire situations when we want what we want and we want it now? I want to encourage you. God sets the pace when it comes to our dreams. It doesn't mean that you can't be doing. You can be doing in prayer. You can be doing in reading the Word of God. But I love the heart of Joshua here. He did not try to get out of the box. He did exactly the pace that God called him to do. Walk around the wall one time. And if you read further down in verse 10, you can read it later. It actually says that God gave Joshua instructions and said, I don't want anybody talking. Because how many of you know we would all be talking, right? Like, let's do something already. And all that complaining. And it was on the seventh day, after the seventh time they went around the wall, that they began to shout and the walls came down. I grew up in a big, a large family. I have 6 older brothers, and I don't know if it was the habit of, you know, just trying to get a word in with that many people in a house. But I have found being married and now with 3 children, I am quick to interrupt. And it's very rude, and I'm very sorry. But you know what? Sometimes my brain is thinking faster than my response. But the truth is I need to stop, pause, listen to the entire sentence, then formulate what they're saying to me, and then speak. Now that's a natural example, but how many times do we do that for God, to God? Okay, great, I hear you. I'm going to go do this. You promised me that, I'm going to come into a relationship. And you promised me marriage. So we order Uber Eats, and all of a sudden, Mr. Gorgeous comes with blue eyes, and he's delivering my food. And I'm like, oh, relationship. And I just want to be in a relationship. Now, God might have told you you're going to be in a relationship, but not necessarily Him. Maybe the full instructions were, you're going to be in a relationship, but I want you to wait, and I'll show you who that is. Because we are so quick to jump the gun when it comes to our instructions. God wants to set the pace. He wants us to hear His voice and get instructions from Him. In fact, point number three here is vision should be led by praise and presence. God gives us promises, but it's in His time. And in fact, when God gives you a vision, we write it down and then we start giving Him praise for it. the walls of Jericho didn't come down till they shouted and praise came forth. What does that have to do with what's going on in my life? How often are we to complain because it's not going as we have planned? How often are we to just almost, you know, vomit just complaints about everything that God's not doing? Have we thought about all that God is doing? Have we thought about that we have a roof over our head, that we have healthy children, that God is working on my behalf? That I don't live in a third world country. Well, that's far-fetching, Kathy. You're just grabbing out of thin air. No, I'm not. We were born for such a time as this, and we have so much, and yet we tend to complain. So point number three is vision should be led by praise and presence. In fact, Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, Joshua learned this from Moses. The scripture says, "Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here.'" What was Moses saying? "Okay, God, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere, but I don't want to do or go anywhere unless you are in it. God, I don't want this new promotion and this job unless you are in it. God, I won't change my child's education plan unless you are in it. God, I won't react. I will respond because you are in it." Can you see here that we need to recognize we're not good enough to go anywhere without God? In fact, I wrote down, everything you make up outside of God, you have to sustain outside of Him. If life is dull, if life is boring, if life is just happening day after day after day, if that vision, those dreams are not being stirred up, I want to encourage you, do things inside of Him. There's been times in my own life that I had to backtrack and say, wait, where was God purposeful, or where was I intentional where I felt the presence of God last in my life? I'm going to go back there. I'm going to take some steps back. I'm going to reroute. I'm going to recalculate and make sure that God is involved. I'm telling you, we're living in the end of the end times. It's so important that we have our ear to the ground, not to hear what's taking place in the world, but our ear to hear the voice of God. Joshua got instructions from God, and therefore he got the victory. In fact, point number four, change of pace can change the place. Change of pace can change the place. Anybody like change? Some people are like, I don't really like change. I personally love, I like new scenery. I like change. I like new things. But the thing is here in verse 4, Joshua 6, verse 4, this is, "On the seventh day, seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns." What took place? It was the change of pace all of a sudden brought the place down. Can I just tell you, when you trust in God, when you trust in His instructions, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. There are things that we just don't understand. There are things that we just, like, God, are you going to work on my behalf? Can I just tell you, the pace has been set. He is working on your behalf. His promises are new every day, and He will show up in just time. I'm going to get ready to close with this. Point five, what is unified brings down what is fortified. Can I just talk for a minute to moms and dads, husbands and wives, individuals? Be on the same page with God. Be believing the same thing, thinking the same thing, confessing the same thing. Any time that the enemy can get in, can get a foothold, cause division, even in your own self. You say, well, I'm single. Why do you always talk about couples? If you're single this morning, do you know the enemy still comes in with a foothold? What needs to be lined up and unified is what's in your head and what's in your heart. And what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God promise me about that? Is my head thinking what the Word of God says, or is it thinking the worst? Is my mouth saying what the Word of God says, or is it saying the worst? I'm telling you, it's time to be unified. What is unified brings down what is fortified. I mean, they were probably laughed at when it came to them walking around the walls. What are they doing, like a spiritual seance down there? And they didn't laugh too long, but I want to encourage you this morning. Voices will always be heard, but they don't dictate the promises of God's word. In fact, there you go again, believing God for what you don't have. There you go again, declaring that your marriage is going to last, even though it's on a brink of divorce. There you go again, saying that you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. There you go again, saying you have enough money to bless others when you can't even pay your own debts. There you go again, and you fill in the blank. What are the voices saying? Because I'm telling you, Joshua did not lose sight of the promises of God. God said, Joshua, I will give you this city. I often think, our worship team can come forward. I often think, what if I were leading that army? Would I have reacted or would I have responded to the instructions of God? Would I have followed through on day 3, on day 4, on day 5? It's okay one time to do what God's telling you to do, but day in and day out, weight, pressure start to come on us. Situations, circumstances, stress. I'm telling you, sometimes we can give in to stress, and when we give in to stress, it causes us to react instead of knowing what God's word says. So I came this morning to just encourage you. Get those journals back out. Get in your prayer closet. Dream with Him. What are you on earth for right now? I said in the beginning, we're talking about discovering your purpose and making a change. You are so valuable to the kingdom of God. The enemy just wants to make us like a ping pong ball. It's going to bounce here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to bounce there. I'm going to do that. You get so caught up with distraction, and there's nothing wrong with living your life, but I believe that God has given each one of you a dream and a vision to make a change. So we're going to be like Joshua. We're going to hear the instructions of God. We're going to believe for vision to be victory. We're going to allow God to set our pace, and we're going to see those fortified walls come down in our life. Amen.